Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Viller on Wednesday, the 9th of October, recording at 9:25 p.m. And yes, it's still British summertime. Now, stock markets would certainly appear to favor Janet Yellen's appointment, belated appointment, I should say, as chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve. It's interesting that she wasn't chosen initially, and we may never know, or I'll put it this way, only Mr. Obama really knows, and he probably isn't going to tell us. I'll make a guess. Was it because President George W. Bush appointed Ben Bernanke as chairman of the Federal Reserve back, I think, on February 1st in 2006? But what was quite clear over the last few weeks was that most of the Fed people, and also a good many of Mr. Obama's own colleagues in the Democratic Party, also favored Janet Yellen. But instead he went for the controversial appointment of Larry Summers, who had the good sense to withdraw, sparing the president a little bit further embarrassment. So here we are. Yellen is a certainty to succeed Ben Bernanke, and she will not have lost any credibility through the delay, but I suspect President Obama probably has. Meanwhile, in here today, the Asian markets, which have been firm here, or firmer recently. You remember they, just only a couple of months ago, and or a little more, they had a significant bout of weakness led by the ASEAN sector. But Asia's been coming back, and it's been helped by generally steady action in Japan, and also an improved tone in terms of China. And in here today, Japan was up between 1 and 1.5% on its two main indices, TOPIX and the Nikkei 225. Hong Kong was a fraction lower, but the Shanghai Composite was a little bit stronger, under 1%, not 0.6. And again, Taiwan, Korea, Australia, India. India had a good day in here today. And apologies here, I withdraw one of those comments about market that had been up. The Taiwan market was actually down a little bit. But the only other decliners, Malaysia, less than half a percentage point, and New Zealand, slightly above half a percentage point. Everything else was a little bit higher in the Asian region. That India move, incidentally, was quite interesting. It's up 1.33%, but it reversed an earlier decline, so it looks good on the charts overall. And if India can hold this ground on hopes that we get the candidate Morey winning the next general election next year, that'd be a good sign. Now, in Europe, we saw mixed performance here overall, but what's interesting is that two of the bigger markets, bigger, I should say, southern European markets that investors have been worried about for the last couple of years have been leading the way. IBEX up nearly 1.3% in here today. The Italian MIB up nearly 1%, so they're outperforming in here right now. And elsewhere we had a few declines, although I see the Euro Stoxx 50 was up a fraction, helped by Italy and Spain. And in the USA, we had modest, well, mixed gains. I was going to say modest, very modest, up 0.18 for the Dow, and the S&P virtually unchanged, up just a tiny fraction, and the Nasdaq down a little bit, just under half a percent. Okay, what can we make of all this overall? Well, with Janet Yellen, we're certainly going to get more quantitative easing, although I don't think that that was really in any doubt. And investors like the idea that that's going to take place, and they also like the idea that we're unlikely to see any tapering of QE before December at the very earliest. Now, inevitably, quantitative easing is a controversial policy introduced by Ben Bernanke because he was trying to avoid the deflation that the United States had experienced in the 1930s when there was a major credit crisis. And so far, the policy is actually succeeding. Its critics say, well, the growth isn't strong enough. The Fed's been spending all this money, $85 billion a month, and what have we actually got for it? But I think that that's either a political view or it shows a lack of knowledge of financial history, because following credit crisis recessions, it has normally taken a minimum of 5 to 7 years, and sometimes up to 10 years, to get back to anything that remotely resembles a normal growth phase. And that's hardly surprising. We're only a little over 4 years since the trough of the credit crisis recession. And what actually happens during that period if consumers and businesses are deleveraging and trying to reduce debt and increase their savings? Well, of course, GDP growth is going to be slow, and it takes a few more years to get out of that, as history actually shows. But overall, the economy is better off for it as a consequence of the deleveraging, debt reductions that we get by businesses and consumers, and also increased savings. But of course, the concern that we have going forward is that you have that mountain of debt held by the government. But if it can get the growth rate back up over the longer term, then that problem would be addressed as well. So I'm not too concerned about this overall. I have been concerned about the overbought condition that we had in stock markets. And that has been at least somewhat corrected. Here we do have valuations on the higher side of average, and that is a remaining concern which may cap upside potential. But I do not share and have not shared some of the draconian forecasts where people are talking about a very serious meltdown. I think that's very unlikely to occur for any known reason. I'll put it that way. Okay, what else happened? Long-dated government bonds yields were slightly higher in the U.S., slightly lower in Europe. The U.S. dollar was a bit firmer in here today. That pulled the euro down a little bit to 1.3522. Remember, when we were up near that 1.36 level, I said that's just not going to last up there, and you may see a weaker euro. I think we definitely will see a weaker euro once the U.S. gets successfully past this debt ceiling impasse, as I believe it will. And sterling was also weaker, and that's fallen back below the 160 level, currently 159.56. I'm keeping an eye on the Japanese yen, which has weakened a little bit here. There are 97.34 yen to the dollar, and Japan had a good bounce in here today. I think I wouldn't quite call it an upward dynamic, but it was only 1% on the Nikkei, but it looks okay after that steady easing that we had seen for what, at least 2 weeks. And we again, I'll emphasize, it is a little bit oversold in here on a short-term basis. Precious metals, well, they're in a mindset that, and this is sometimes a variable feast in terms of why people buy or sell precious metals, but currently and really for a good many months, investors have regarded the scare stories as a reason to buy gold and have tended to sell it when things don't look quite so bad as people were forecasting, and that's the case in here today. So gold has slipped back over $14 to 1305, and it's pulled silver down nearly 60 cents to 21.85. Platinum also lower, down 20, 1383. Palladium 702, that's down over 12. The industrial metals were also mostly weaker in here today, and the exception, and it's a minor exception, is tin, which was, but it was only up a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction. And crude oil prices also lower, 101.38. It's down $2 in here right now, and the Brent down over a dollar, down to 109.02. We have, if you look at the Continuous Commodity Index chart, that's CCI in the library, and it has been ranging above that 500 level that I mentioned on a number of occasions. Possible support building? Yes, I think it probably is. If I'm wrong, and if that breaks down and holds below that 500 level, that would give another little deflationary twist to the global economic picture generally. But I think actually what we have is an environment that isn't at all bad. Let's get out beyond October. Let's get the U.S. Partial shutdown, get that out of the way, and we could have a decent year end. But I think over, well, I'll stick to that. On that note, all the very best to all of you.